For you gentlemen that are here, that are fathers, we're very, 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 very grateful that you're here. There's no greater place to be than in the kingdom of God and in the house of God with other men of God, proclaiming Jesus Christ as Lord and raising our children in the things of God. Amen? This is what we have to do. This is what we need to do. This is what God's called us to do. And I was so encouraged with all the fathers that were coming in and the just a camaraderie, watching each one grab a hold and laughing with him and cutting up. And it was funny because when I first got here this morning, Pastor Jeff walked in. I was here by myself, you know, and I'm just worshiping. Pastor Jeff walked in. I'm like, would your wife shop at the same place mine did? A little while later, Malaysia walks in. I'm like, oh, we got to get a picture of this. This never happens before. So we're taking a selfie with the three of us. And then Jeremy Hamm walked in. I'm like, oh, there's no way. There's just no way. We knew at that point we've been set up. And what a wonderful, wonderful God we have. Amen. You know, today, I mean, June 6th, 1944 was D-Day. And I believe that today is D-Day for the body of Christ and for the church. Because it's decision day. Right? They asked, what is D-Day? What is D-Day? What does D stand for? And they said, day. That's it. It was the day. It was like H hour. It was the hour they were going to attack. D was the day they were going to attack. There's nothing else that the D stands for. And this was the largest incursion ever, a sea assault ever in the history of the world, where over 150,000 men went and stormed the beaches of Normandy. They did something that was going to be impossible, and yet it was possible at the cost of a lot of lives. And you know, this morning, when people look at America, they say, America, it's impossible to turn it around. But I believe there's enough men in this room to turn this whole country around. I don't think God needs a lot of us. I just think he needs a few good men. There's no plug for the Marines. Yeah, I was in the Air Force. We didn't have a cool saying like that. We had like aim high or something like that. But he only needs a few, and I think there's enough of them. Yeah, that was real funny, huh, Paul? Yeah, he was in the Army. But he needs a few of us to stand on his word and to proclaim his majesty and then not look at what everything else that's going on. And enough men to stand and say, you know what? I don't care what the odds are. I don't care what happens to me. I'm ready to lay my life down for those that are around me. And this is still the greatest nation on the planet. We've got some problems. The flag's torn and tattered and ripped. And there's some issues going on in America. But God's got the answer. And the answer is sitting here in this room. Men and women of God standing on the promises of God. We can turn things around if we'll stand and believe the word of God and proclaim the word of God everywhere we go and touch one more and one more and one more and one more. And as we start touching lives, everything starts to change. It's happened before in America, some of the darkest times, and then God brought revival. And I believe that the personal revival for each and every one of us happens early in the morning. Early in the morning, if every man and woman gets up and gets in there in the Word of God, in prayer with the Father, and then just walk out whatever He says, miracles happen just like those babies walking the street. Not having any idea who you're going to bump into. A thing of Pringles and a prayer. It's all you need to win America. So we found out today. Hopefully every father got their dad's root beer there. It was something that my son had shown us a while back. Just something to honor the fathers that are here. I'm telling you, you guys aren't honored enough. You're ridiculed a lot. You're mocked in the media, every TV program. Maybe you're even mocked at home. I don't know. Maybe you were mocked by your dad. Maybe you were mocked by the principal. Maybe you were mocked in the military. Maybe you were mocked on your job. Wherever you are, I want you to know God doesn't mock you. I want you to know He adores you. He created you. He has a plan for you. And it's powerful and it's mighty. I don't care how many times you've stumbled and fallen. It didn't end there. His plan didn't stop because of you. His plan continues on, even in the midst of all of our weakness. But just like those 150,000 men that stormed the beaches, we're strong together.
One puts 1,000 and two put 10,000 to flee. One man sets a whole family free. And that family sets generations free. That's the power that we have in Jesus. And today is D-Day. It's decision day. And you know, there's choices have to be made today. Men, you made a choice to come to church. Good choice. Hopefully it wasn't your wife that kicked you out of bed and said, let's go. But I pray it was your decision that says, as for me, I'm going to church to serve my God. It's a God-given choice. You get to make the choice, but you do not get to dictate the consequences. So many times we want to control the consequences. We make the choice. We make a good choice, we enjoy the consequences. We make a bad choice, we receive the consequences. So you can decide, and every one of us in this room have to make a decision of what we're going to do each and every day. And if we side with the king, then he who sides with God always what? Wins. Always wins, he who sides with God. Therefore, everyone who fights against God always loses. Who's going to fight against God? Who can stand against him? No one. In Joshua 24, verses 14 and 15, it says that, now therefore, fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served beyond the river in Egypt, and serve the Lord. If it is disagreeable in your sight to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves today. Everyone in here has to make a choice today. If you're a first-time visitor, I met some people that are first-time visitors today. We're so thankful you're here. Let's just give them a round of applause, would you guys? Just thanking them for coming. I don't know. I don't remember their names. I probably won't remember your face, so forgive me. But the next time you come, remind me. I do better about the third or fourth time, all right? But we want to say, you made a choice today to be in the house of God with the men and women of God. You chose. And the scripture says, choose for yourself today whom you will serve. You see, Joshua was taking them out of Egypt, but it took a while to get Egypt out of the people. And so when you've come in this morning, is there any of Egypt that you're living in still? Is there any thoughts of your old life that consume you still? Are there thoughts of failure? Is there thoughts of condemnation? Are there desires for the things of this world? See, Joshua was saying, hey guys, look, we crossed over into the promised land. We're living in houses we didn't build. We're enjoying crops that we didn't plant. Everything was performed by the hand of God Almighty. All that we possess came from His hand. And he said, now I want to tell you, maybe it's not desirable for you, but as for me, and every man, woman, and child has to make that decision. When they're younger, we help make the decisions when they're little. The Bible says to train up a child in the way that they should go. That's our mandate as fathers. That means sitting there with them with the Word of God. That means spending time in prayer with them. It doesn't mean just going to work, supplying a paycheck, and filling the fridge. The heathens do that. Our job as men and women of God is to stand on the principles of God, choosing each day, I'm going to serve the King. Therefore, I'm going to take time out of my life and I'm going to pour it into the next generation of our family and I'm going to train them in the fear and the admonition of the Lord. And I'm going to receive the fruit of my works in the name of Jesus Christ. Because I want you to know, God's faithful to His Word. He doesn't change. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. But he said, choose for yourself. You're going to have to make some choices this afternoon. There's some that struggle with all kinds of things in the body of Christ. But you're going to have to make a choice. Do I believe the Word of God or my experience? Do I believe the Word of God or am I going to go with what the world says? Because when it comes to truth, the world is clueless. Washington, D.C. wouldn't know what the truth was if it hit him in the face. That's why we're here. To come alongside those men and women that are confused, to come alongside of them and speak the truth. But we cannot play games with the truth. The truth never gets modified. And so many churches right now are modifying the truth out of fear. We want a house filled with men that aren't afraid. Be not afraid, the scripture says. God is not mocked. The world can play these games, all the morality, or the immorality, I should say, that's being proclaimed from the rooftops all over and crammed down everybody's throat. And so many times I talk to Christians and they're like, well, brother, we really can't say nothing. Wrong answer. Germany said, we're taking over the world. And America and others stood up and said, wrong answer. And they were willing to lay down their lives. That's what happened. That was the greatest generation, they said, that stood. Men stood together, women leaving their homes and going and have to build stuff in order to win a war. Everybody working together in one direction. That's the kingdom of God. When we get to that point, we're all working towards one. It's not, well, I like this and I like this and I don't like that. And I certainly don't like the person sitting next to me. You married her. And she married you. And we go through the different times and seasons in our lives. But when we come together, when the husband and wife agree on the word of God, stop making excuses. Stop complaining about the one sitting next to me. I'm all done, honey. I'm finished. Doesn't give you the freedom to keep lying, but I'm finished complaining, all right? She's the greatest gift God ever gave me besides salvation and the Holy Ghost. Father's Day. He said, choose ye this day whom you're going to serve. This is all of us coming together with one goal in mind. He's glorified. You die. God's economy is crazy, isn't it? You want to be great? Serve more than anybody else. You want to live? Die. You want to have? Give. Somebody curses you? Bless them. Who does that besides God? And that brings us all in to that one point. Just like those 150,000 men. You know, there was one man, never got much recognition. His name was Norman Cotta. He was a brigadier general. So for those of you who don't know, it's Be My Little Girl, okay? So it's Brigadier General, Major General, Lieutenant General, then the five-star general. So he was a one-star general. They said he was probably the oldest man that hit the beaches of Normandy. He's 51 years old. See, most of them were teenagers, young 20s, going to battle. They weren't war-hardened men. He was probably the oldest one to set foot on Omaha Beach on D-Day, and he was certainly, they said, the baddest man on the beach. You know, that's what we need. We need some men to stand up and say, I'll be the baddest man out there because I'm not going to back down from anything. And I don't mean bad, becoming mean and ugly or none of that, but I'm not going to change who I am no matter what the government says. I'm not going to be moved off of my point of being the greatest title I can ever have, Son of God and Father. Who else gets eternal beings given to them by the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords? And he says, hey, I know all your hang-ups. I know all your weaknesses, but I'm giving these babies to you to raise in the fear and the admonition of me. What an amazing Father. It's unbelievable his love towards us, but it's also unbelievable of what he can do through one man and one woman that surrenders to him. It's incredible. Norman Cotta said leading his command of shell-shocked troops through enemy fire earned him the honor of leading the U.S. Army troops down to Champs-Élysées in the parade celebrating the liberation of Paris. You see, when he landed on the beach of Normandy, he immediately set to making order out of chaos. Gentlemen, that's your job. Make order out of chaos. Well, my house is out of control. Bring order to it. Lead your home. You don't lead a ministry until you can lead your home. That's where God trains us. Sometimes being home is like being on the beaches of Normandy. But But when you lead your home, then God takes you and He brings you to the beaches. He said He made order out of chaos, setting up a command post on the beach. Two of His commanding officers were killed within feet of Him. And then He strode upright. I love that. He stood up. Bullets are flying everywhere. Men are dying everywhere. And He stood up and He started walking across the beach. It's time for the men of God to stand up and to walk in the midst of enemy fire. And that means no matter what kind of nonsense is going on in the world, when they say, you have to believe this, you say, no, I believe that there's one God, and He created man and He created woman, and I believe that there's one God through one blood that was shed, Jesus Christ, that washes away all sins, and there is no other. That's what happens. No different than this guy that stood up on the beach and bullets are flying, shells are flying, grenades are going off. He doesn't crawl around on the ground. They said He stood up and He walked across in front of His men. Oh, that the body of Christ would agree and stand up. He said He walked across the beach towards a group of soldiers pinned down by enemy fire next to a sand dune. It was then that He may have uttered the most famous words, gentlemen, we're being killed on the beaches. Let us go inland and be killed. Listen, you're going to die. Can we all agree on that? Right. We're all going to die one day, but thank God we don't have to worry. Death has no sting. The grave has no victory. But He said, look, we're all going to die. Let's go do our job. Let's not sit here and hide. Let's not back up. We were commanded for one job to do. By the government, we're going to go in and we're going to take this beach and we're going to stop Hitler and all of his regime from taking over the known world. We've got a job. We're not going to die here. Let's go do what we were called to do. Let's stand up and be men. Let's walk up. And that's what he did. He took those soldiers and he led them. And the one story says that he got up there. Sometimes he beat them up the hill. And he was standing there just twirling his pistol around on his hip. On his finger, I mean. He's just sitting there twirling. Young men trying to keep up with a 51-year-old guy. Tell you, we need old guys. Honey, you didn't even help me out. Oh, I'm not old? All right. You're forgiven. You know, if we're going to die, let's keep going and die accomplishing what God called us to do. If you're going to get bad-mouthed and mocked and ridiculed, Let's receive that doing what God's called us to do. Right? If you're going to be bad-mouthed, let's do that while we just say it, speak the truth no matter where we walk. In love with great grace and mercy, but never changing the truth. The truth doesn't change. We don't have that freedom or that liberty. Don't stop doing what you're called to do. Even if many have fallen around you. And I know that every one of us in here have seen men and women fall off. And there's going to be a great falling away, the scripture says, in these end times. Tell your neighbor, say, not me. Tell your other neighbor, say, not me. You see, there's going to be a lot of them that are going to fall off because they're going to get afraid. But God hasn't given us a spirit of fear, but power, love, and a sound mind. Enough power to walk across that beach upright. Enough power to walk through life upright. Not looking at what you did yesterday. Not complaining about what somebody else has done to you, but walking upright and showing the love of Christ with all of your heart to everyone that God sends your way. Everyone God sends your way. See, that's what the power of God is, because no matter where Jesus walked, people's lives were changed forever. Wherever Jesus walked, He had great compassion and love for those that were lost and hurting. And He didn't get caught up in the political nonsense. He preached the truth. And the scripture says that His word is truth. And to stand up and do things even when they're uncomfortable. Hey, Pete, I mean, Elijah, you got that picture? Just bring it up. There he is. 16 years old. Gavin, I thank God for Chris Manchuk. He trained both my sons how to play guitar. Had to do a funeral in a bar yesterday. Greatest place in the world to do a funeral. My wife had to sing and Landon had to work, so we had to use Gavin. And I got over there. I said, listen, folks, this is the first time Gavin's ever played outside the church. I said, so I just want to say, hey, This is G. Williker live at the Pot of Gold in Accra. Thanks, guys. But you know what? He'd never played, never been in a bar, I don't think. His mother asked him, said, "You got to play the song." He's never played. He had to go and practice a song. And then he stood up there in front of people he's never met before in his life and sang with his mama, "Amazing Grace." That just wrecks me. That makes me want to weep and cry. Can I tell you? We have to encourage the next generation to do things they're not comfortable doing, but what they were trained to do. Listen, every young... how many of you got in here that are 16 to 30 that are not married? Or don't have kids? No, boys. This is Father's Day, girls. All right, all of you, get up. Get up, come on. I know most of you are. Stand up. Walk up here. Come. Come, all of you, come. 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 Boys. Boys. She's going to college and look what happens. Come on. No, come on, boys. Stand up here. Face everybody. Wonderful. Mom, I know there's more than that in here. That, all right. Oh, there they are. Okay, good. We're glad you're here, fellas. Because this is the next generation of fathers. This is the next generation. You think this is funny? This is basic training. I'll wipe that smile off your face, boy. You see, we've been praying for you guys for a long time. Every day we pray for you guys. Your moms, your dads, your grandparents, your aunts and uncles, whoever they are. Every day they've been praying for you guys. You guys are first time, right? Oh, you've been here before? Oh, he's a first time. Were you Brady and Hunter? We're glad you guys are here. Thanks for coming up, too. Thanks for your courage. See, that's what God's looking for, men of courage that ain't scared. They're scary. Look at them. But these are the kind of men that God wants. That's you. You guys, you're not regular soldiers. You guys are rangers. You guys are the ones that fly in when everybody else is pinned down, and you stand up and you bring everybody out. You see, that's what God's called you to do. And not be afraid. And not worry. And not look around what everybody else is doing. I don't care what anybody else is doing. You can't either. You can't look at what they have. We're all done blaming someone else for what's not happening in your life or what did happen. Maybe you didn't have a great dad. Maybe you didn't have a great upbringing, whatever it is. I know most of your dads, so don't say nothing while you're up here, all right? But eventually, you guys are going to have to make, because it's D-Day, it's decision day. So eventually, you're going to have to make a decision. What kind of a father am I going to be? And it starts now, in your bedroom when you're by yourself. All done with daddy coming in with two tops out of metal garbage cans, waking you up and say, "Get in the word, boy." Mommy coming in, "Honey, wake up, baby. Come on, sweetie. I got your breakfast ready." Don't you be looking at your mama. See, it's time that you guys made the decision. Tim just got saved, right, Tim? Glad you're up here, baby. Another soldier. But I just wanted to pray for these young men because we need the next generation of young men standing on the word of God, staying in prayer, being encouraged by every other man that walks through these doors. When you guys see these young men walk by, you encourage them. You tell them, say, "Hey, I remember being where you were at right now. I remember all the decisions and how everything was flooding at you, running after you, trying to destroy the call of God in your life." They need you. You need them. Don't get arrogant. Don't get foolish. Don't think you know more. You don't know nothing. Are we clear?
Yes, sir.
Aye, good man. You know nothing about marriage. You don't know nothing about raising kids. You barely got enough sense to get the same color socks on. I bet you most of... Good job, Ednell. Yeah. But I want you to know, you're the greatest resource that we have in this church. You're the greatest conquerors the world has ever seen. You guys are so much farther ahead than so many others because you're here. Because this is the truth. Your value is unprecedented. You were created by the King of Glory. You were made for victory. That's what you were made for. You were made to win. You were made to walk in righteousness. You were made to walk in such a way that thousands of others' lives are changed because of what God has done inside of each and every one of you. That's who you are. Don't ever doubt it. Don't be looking left and right. Some of these guys you're standing with, they're going to pull back at times. Sometimes we hit a little hole. We hit a mud puddle. We wallow around in it for a little while. You keep walking. You don't stop no matter what anybody does to your left or your right. You stand up and say, hey, follow me as I follow Christ. This is what God's called you to do because you're the fathers of tomorrow. You know what? We're going to have some good-looking kids tomorrow. You know what? We'll have good-looking ones. But if you stretch your hands forward, I want to pray for these young men. Come on, bow your heads, fellas. Do what I tell you to do. Attaboy. Father, I thank you for these men. Lord, each one with a calling upon their life, each one with a gifting on the inside of them, each one, Lord, was born for this time, this season, this day, a day of decision, a day of power, a day of authority, a day of anointing, a day with freedom, a release, a day of increase, and a day of joy. Father, that every single one of them right now in the name of Jesus, we speak life and health over them. We break every curse in Jesus' name that's ever been spoken over them. Lord, anyone that has ever said they're not worthy, anyone that has ever said they're not good enough, anyone that has ever said they've stumbled too many times, and any thought that's in their mind that's outside of your word, where it says, I can't because I've done bad things. Lord, we today agree that it's not what they have done that's important this morning, but it's what you have done. Your blood was enough. Your blood was enough to wash away the guilty stain. And they are strong now in the name of the Lord and the power of your might. Lord, so we pray a strength inside of them and a holy hunger that no matter where they walk, no matter where they go, they say, no, I won't compromise who I am because I've been given the name Son of the Living God. And Father, I pray that as they walk, their heads are high. They don't compromise when all their other friends are talking nonsense. They say, sorry, I'm here to walk according to the truth. And I won't be distracted by the foolishness of men. Father, we pray a fresh infilling of the Holy Ghost inside of each and every one of them. Lord, that they would have dreams. You said the young men will dream dreams. And this morning, Lord, I pray that they would have dreams. And they would be so real that they would arise in the middle of the night, breaking out in a sweat, writing down everything that you spoke to them, and then accomplishing the task that your Holy Ghost brings to them when they're fast asleep. And Father, I thank you for the mighty men that they'll lead one day. Lord, I pray that each one of these men, they'd be the ones that stood up upright. They didn't cower down. They didn't hide behind a bunker. You've called them to walk out into the darkness and save souls. Lord, let them remind themselves of how you are the light and they go before you. And you go before them and you're their rear guard. That they never walk alone. They never walk in weakness. For mighty is the God they serve. Great is their King. All that they have need of, your hand is already supplied. You said nothing. And stop them on this planet. So, Father, I pray that their thoughts, that their hearts, that their minds, that their understanding, and that their whole future and vision is wrapped up in you. We thank you for these great men of God today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I want a hug from each one of you guys before you go. Thanks, Brady. It's a pleasure meeting you. Get out of here. Good meeting you, Hunter. Come on, Nate. Yeah, now you better give me some loving. Come on, Lige. That's a man. He was the only one that said, yes, sir. Come on, Lige. Come on, John. Bubba, love you. Jojo Mo-Yo. Gee willikers. Come on, baby. Tim, welcome to the... Welcome. Welcome to where men serve, men walk, men stand on the promises of God. Welcome. Amen. Now for all the... Now for all the fathers to stand up, because I'm almost over time here. Come on, dads, all you red shirts. Stand up. Come on, show it proudly, men. That's right. You know, some of you guys I've been walking with for... Mr. Hank, we're so glad you're here today. That's Mr. Paul Burfine's dad. How old are you today, Mr. Hank? And what did he say? What's that? 87 years old. He looks amazing. He don't hear so good, but he looks amazing, right, Mr. Hank? Can I tell you, I am so blessed to know him. He gets up 87 years old. He's still standing strong, standing on the word of God, raised his kids in the things of God. Now Paul stands here, and he's walking in the things of God, and his son was standing up here, walking in the ways of God because of a man of God stood. I want you to know, generations are made powerful and mighty because of you. I don't care how you started out. I want to see how we finish. And we finish by loving one another. Amen. Whoever's sitting around them, ladies, come on, put a hand on some of these men. Put your hand on their shoulder. Stand up next to them. Come on. We want to pray for these men. Come on, there's somebody standing by themselves. Come on, girls. Get up, put a hand on them, wherever they're standing. Amen. Come on. Come on, girls. Put your hands on them, wherever they are, just on their shoulders. Don't smack them in the back of the head or none of that stuff, all right? I saw that look in your eye, ladies. This is Father's Day. You got to refrain today. You got to hold back. We've got everybody with a hand on them. John, does anybody have their hand on you? All right, John, come up with, find somebody. One of you ladies, go back there, put your hand on. Come on. We can't be by ourselves. I don't want anybody. That's all right. Me and Jeff are good. Right, Pastor Jeff? Right. I'll put my hand on you, all right? But I'm not a woman, just so we're clear, all right?
I got it.
And let's pray. Father, you are an amazing Father. You're a Father like no other. Your grace has been so beyond anything we could ever imagine. Time and time and time again, you've been the lifter of our head. Lord, when mistakes were made and we felt useless and we just fell to the ground, Lord, you came over, you picked our heads up and you said, "Look into my eyes. Because I've got more love for you. And then I've got more and more and more and more. And I'll never stop loving you." And Father, I thank you for the love that you have towards us. That while we were yet sinners, you sent your Son to die for each and every one of us. Lord, I pray right now, infuse, empower, overwhelm every father here. And Lord, give them visions, oh God. Because most of them are older and you said you give old men... Oh, no, those dreams. That's right, young men visions. So, Father, give them dreams. Let them see themselves standing on that beach. Bullets flying, lies about them all over the place. People ridiculing and mocking. And they stand up and they say, "Men, come follow me as I follow Christ." Lord, I pray that their hearts would be set on that course. Their faces would be like flint towards the wind, that they wouldn't be moved from the promises of God. Your promises are yea and amen over each one of our lives. And Father, I just speak life and strength in the name of Jesus. Lord, I thank you that you hear and answer every one of our cries. Lord, you're the one that comes alongside of us. I thank you for every marriage being strong in the name of Jesus. Every one of them being renewed in Jesus' name. Lord, let it be that we would fall in love like we were when we were young and first dating, oh God. Lord, the wives that you have given us, let our hearts be overwhelmed once again. And Lord, I pray for the strength in their step. That just as Mr. Hank at 87, still standing on the word of God, still in love with his bride, still standing on your word and your promises, Lord, I pray that every man in this house would grab a hold of your promises and make them their own. Lord, that no matter who they lay their hand on, they would expect an impartation, a transformation, a healing, deliverance, an overwhelming sense of the presence and the power of God. Lord, that you would allow them to see the next generation and the next generation come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Father, today, I thank you for the army that you built here, a rock solid church. And I thank you for those men that are coming in. Those that are willing to say, hey, I'm willing to surrender and to join the army of God. The unbeaten, undefeated army of God. For our God has never lost a battle. Father, today, I thank you that these men are strong. These men are anointed. Holy Spirit, give them a word that even before they leave this room, a word that reminds them of your great love, a word about the victory and the direction for tomorrow, a word on stirring up the gift inside of them, a word that encourages someone else in this room, a word that drowns out every negative thought that they came in here with this morning. Lord, you give them a word and say, no, today is that day. It's D-Day. It's a day of decision. It's a day for taking the beaches. It's a day for standing up. It's a day like no other. Father, thank you for the great men, men of honor that have proclaimed your name as Father, as Savior, as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Bless my friends this morning in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen, amen.
Gentlemen, have a wonderful Father's Day. Ladies, treat your men right. Children, serve your dads and obey them all the days of your life. God bless you.